These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Realize that most probably the richest parsha in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah is Parshas Vahalosa. It is so diverse and so varied, it is really quite unusual. And I'd like to capture some of the various strands of the parsha in the items that I've chosen for our shiur this evening. We will go over our time, not we may, we will, but I'm hoping that our exercise will be worthwhile. The parsha opens in the following way. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, daber el Aharon v'yomar to'elov, v'ha'alosechoes haneros el mulpenei ha'menoro yo'iru shevas haneros. So the command is extended to Aharon, that he is to light the menorah. And here we have an Or HaChaim HaKadosh, a comment of his, which addresses itself to the same problem as we had at the beginning of Parshat Bahar. Why do we need to have, as an introduction to the Parsha of the menorah, a double expression, Daber Ve'omarto, accepting also that Dibur is Loshen Kosher, and Amira is usually Amira Rako. So our first offering of this evening is to consult at some length the comment of the Or HaChaim to the words Daber V'yomart. Sorich lo das, it is important to know, Lomo kofal lomar Daber V'yomarto, gam b'milos shonos. Why do we need to have Daber V'yomarto? That's the question. The Yispa'er, and this matter can be resolved, Alti Devrayim Zal, on the basis of Chazal quoted in Medrash Rabbah, and which is also mentioned by Rashi at the beginning of our Parsha. V'zel ishrinom. Lo mo nismecho Parshas Menorah leParshas Nesiyim. Why is the Parsha of Hadlokas HaMenorah placed at the beginning of Vahalosecha, next to the entire description of the Chanukas HaMizbeach by the Nesiyim? Lefi, the answer is, say the Chazal, Shero Aharon Chanukas Nesiyim. When Aharon saw that the prince of every tribe had been involved in this Chanukah, Chol Shodato, he was upset, Shelo Hoyo Imahem v'Chanukah, that he wasn't involved with them in this dedication. Lo Hu v'lo Shifto, neither he nor his tribe of Levi. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayecha, by your life, Shelecha Gedele Mishelohem, your lot will be greater than theirs. Your duty will be greater than theirs, because you will be lighting and preparing the menorah in the evening and in the morning. Sounds like a bit of a consolation prize. He's not involved in the Chanukah, which is a dedication. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, all right, you weren't in the dedication, but you have an ongoing job. But that doesn't seem to answer Aharon's concern, because Aharon was concerned because he wasn't involved in dedication. So what sort of an answer is it that you're going to have an ongoing duty of lighting and preparing the menorah? And this is the very point that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh makes. Hinei divrayim zal tzirichim biur. Their words require some interpretation. Ma nechomo zu ose lechalishu stato shel Aharon al Chanukas HaNesiyim. What sort of an uplift, what sort of a comfort is this for Aharon? Because he was not involved in the dedication of the Nesiyim, he wasn't included. Hallo, ein ma'isa ha-menorah, makbil ha-chanukah. The lighting of a menorah is not a dedication. That's not an initiation. Gam lama lo hiniach dato b'chol ha-kavodah shehu makdif. And if you want to say to Aharon, but you have ongoing duties, why refer specifically to the lighting of the menorah? You have ongoing duties such as bringing the korbanos in the morning and in the evening. Tamidim, Mustafim, Bahakitoris, and furthermore, Gam Bahakrovas Hachanuka Watchmoshal Kolhanasim, Hari Huhamakliv, Velomalo Ritso Elova Menorah, and let us not ignore the fact that even in the korbanos that were brought by the princes of each of the tribes during those 12 days of dedication, the prime officiant was Aharon. Because there are certain parts of the avoda of korbanos that can only be performed by Kohanim. So the question in a nutshell is as follows. If Aharon is upset because he has not been involved in Chanukah, in dedication, in initiation, which is what the Nesiim were involved in, how come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consoles him by indicating to him, amongst all the other avodos that he is going to perform, that he has the ongoing task of kindling and preparing the menorah? That's the question. The Yisyashev Ho'inyan, says the Yoruch Chaim HaKadosh, this matter can be resolved. B'seis leiv l'masha omru b'menachas perik beiz midas daf beiches v'zel l'shoinot. We can understand this medrash and how the Hadlokas HaMenorah is indeed an adequate response to Aharon's depression when we direct our thoughts to a Gemara in Menachos which reads like this. Kesad Oseh, how did Aharon clean out the lamps of the menorah? You've got oil, you've got wicks, you've got to clean it out to prepare it for the next lighting. How did he do it? Says the Gemara there, Misalkon, big news. He took the lamps out. The lamps were detachable from the menorah. Right? And Umanichon b'yohel, and he put them down in the Yohel Moed. Umekanichon b'svog, and he cleaned them out with a place, a rag. The notion b'hem shemen, and he put oil in them, and he put them back in. Acha. Now what emerges from this? First of all, let's find out what it's all about here. You've got one opinion in the Gemara that the lamps of the menorah are detachable. They're not part of the menorah at all. You take them out, you clean them, you put them back. Well, I don't need to tell you what the Yoruch Chaim has in store. What Aharon is involved in, therefore, according to that man, the Yomar, is that every day he performs a Chanukah of his own because he puts the menorah back together again. So every day there is a Chanukah's HaMenorah. It's not merely, quote-unquote, a kindling. It is a rededication in the basic sense of the word. Ah, you'll say to me, but not everybody agrees with that. And even those people who argue with that opinion and insist that the lamps were not detachable from the menorah, the Sover de Kevii Neiros, and they are of the opinion that the lamps were actually fixed as part of the menorah, Sover Gamkein, they are also of the opinion that the cleaning out was done this way. That the stems on which the lamps which held the oil were placed on were very, very thin. And in order to cleanse out the lamps, as you couldn't take the lamps out, because this is going according to the opinion that the lamps are also fixed in the menorah, but you bent down the lamp and until you had actually cleansed them out inside, and then umekanachom v'chozer v'zokevom kevorishona, as indeed Rashi says quite explicitly. So you have two opinions. One opinion is that you actually dissembled the menorah in order to clean it. And there is another opinion that you actually distorted the shape of the menorah as it should be when it is lit, in order to clean it out, and then when you had cleaned it, you put it back together again. So I don't need to tell you, according to both opinions, you are actually rebuilding the menorah each time. Now, says the Yoruch Chaim HaKadosh, something that only he could say. There's a machlokus. Are the neiros detachable from the menorah, or are they not? Va'ani yomer, says the Yoruch Chaim HaKadosh, ilu ha'yisisham, had I been amongst those rabbis in the time of the Talmud who are arguing as to whether the lamps of the menorah were detachable or not, I would have said to them, gentlemen, or learned colleagues, the menorah's lamps were detachable, and I would have proved it from Psukim in Tanakh. A man to say, if I was in the presence of Tanoim and Amoroim, I would have told them what's what.
Just out of McKinnon, I mean, that's a statement. Horatio, I would have proved to them the following. Number one, my proof would be, in Parshas Vayakhel, when we speak about the description of how the menorah was to be made, lo hiskir pratzer she'osu lemulpanei hamenorah yoilu. There is no indication in Parshas Vayakhel as to the fact that the lamps are supposed to be facing in towards the middle stem. There is no mention of that fact. She'im haneros kevuim. And I say, if the lamps were actually built as part of the menorah and could not be detached from it, then kishehisker hamaisek chal zichron hadavar. Then does it not stand to reason that if in fact the lamps were to be arranged so that they all faced in, and the lamps were not detachable from the menorah but were fixed, then surely that is something that should have been mentioned when you speak about the actual manufacture of the menorah. If the lamps are detachable, then you can say to me, what's written in Vayakhel is that part of the menorah which is all one piece. And that's the way it has to be fashioned. Here we are speaking about how you can manipulate the lamps which are detachable so that when you light them, they all face into the middle stem. But if you insist that the lamps themselves are also part of the menorah, so why not mention how they are to be manufactured as part of the menorah in Vayakhel? Why leave it to Baal Osecha? Because it was obvious that it was so designed that if it's not detachable, it's part. That's number one. V'yod raya acheres, and another proof. Mimash omer akosav v'parshas b'midbar. When the Torah says in Parshas b'midbar, note the language. V'lokachu beget techeles, and then they will take a garment of blue. V'chisu, and what will they cover, right, when it comes to journey? What will they cover? They'll cover the menorah tamor. They are called to cover the menorah and its lamp. But if the lamps are part of the menorah, you don't need to say Nero Seho in a separate phrase. And it goes on to say, Vies Malkocheho, the tongues, Machto Seho, the pans, Vies Kolkele Shamno, and various other Kalim. Hareze Maravietzbai, does that not point a finger, says the Orachaim HaKadosh, Shein Haneros Kavuim? That the Neros are not in fact fixed into the menorah. She'im lo kein, because if it were not like I say, but the Neros were in fact fixed into the menorah, then the Neros is bichlal ha-menorahim. Then why mention the Neros separate from the menorah? V'lo hoyo tzorich lefo'atom, there would be no reason to mention them in detail. Separate. Ela vadai she'enom kevuim, the truth of the matter is they are not fixed in the menorah. V'lo zeh hutzrich lefo'atom, and that's why they had to be mentioned, like the malkocheha and the machtoseha, the tongues and the pans, which were certainly different from the menorah, were also mentioned. So he says it's a golden proof. And what he's saying is, I don't know how the man, the Yomaru, holds that the Neros were part of the menorah, what they would do with these psukim. And furthermore, he says, Shuv ro'isi kozeh b'divrei hayomim. I've seen also in divrei hayomim. It says there, v'yes ha-menoros v'neirosehem. The menorah and their lamps. Harezeh magid. So does that not indicate, ki b'zichron menoros lo yicholelu neirosehem? That when it comes to mentioning the menorah, it doesn't automatically include the lamps. And if you look at Rashi on Divrei Hayomim, obviously he is of the opinion that the Rashi on Divrei Hayomim is Rashi. The Chidah in the Shem HaGedolim says the Rashi on Divrei Hayomim is not Rashi. But it's incidental. Whoever it is, it obviously was a Rishon. And the Rashi says there, Lahotzi Milev HaMeforashim, that this phrase, menoros and neirosehem, is in order to refute the opinion that of the people who say that neiros hoyu asuya megufo shel menorah v'yadukimbo, that the lamps of the menorah were part of the menorah and fastened to it. Says Rashi, you can't say that, shaharei kesiv, menoros v'neirosehem, because it says menoros and their lamps, so the lamps were obviously different. You and Shom Devor of the Yerich, Holomaradah, from which you can see, Shepashtios Haksuvim Yagidu Kolokivi in Eros, from which you can see that the simple interpretation of the Psukim supports the opinion that the lamps were detachable. Look, if he's there, now we can understand. Kavonas teshuvas Hashem liYaharon, the intention of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's reply to Aharon. Because Aharon was complaining that he wasn't there for the dedication and didn't participate in the dedication of the Mizbeach, the Heshivo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Chayecha, by your life, Shelecha Gedele Mishelohem, meaning, Maisa HaMenorah. What you will do to the menorah, Shemorit HaNeros, when you will remove the lamps, Umanichon biyohel, and will you put them down in the yohel moed? Umekanchem, and you will clean them. Vechozeru bono some mechadosh, and you will rebuild the menorah. Umadliko, and kindle it every day. Harehu kol yom keosa maisa chadosh. Then you are actually building a part of the Mishkan every single day of your life. Shemechanechu hamenorah bechol hadlok v'hadlok. My friends, let's just go back a few weeks in time and see what this does. Here is a man who's telling you, and it's obvious now, just let me finish it. I'll say it out because we've said enough inside. That's the Daber V'Yomarta. The Daber is a Lashon Kosher. The instruction to Aharon to light the menorah is a Dibur. It's something you've got to do because that's your mitzvah. On the other hand, it's V'Yomarta. It is a wonderful announcement to Aharon, because Aharon was upset that he had not been involved in the Chanukah HaMizbeach, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says to him, with this mitzvah that I'm going to give to you, you are going to be building the Mishkan every day. Many weeks ago, we raised a question, and it was the following. Why is it, if unclean items are permissible, in regards to communal congregational activity, Tumer Hutrivit Sibur, why was it necessary for them to search for pure oil at the time of the Chashman oil? That's the old question. And you may remember that Rabbi Yosef Engel Zatzal in the Gilyonei Hashas and Gemara Shabbos and Daf Chof Aleph Amidveis, that the Gilyonei Hashas there, they're very simply bringing a comment of the Das that came to me Bali Atesis in Parshas Shemini, that Einachinami, if you have something ongoing, then we do say that if at some time there is some element of tumo involved, if it is associated with communal avoda, you can push it aside. But that's only if it's ongoing. However, said the Das Akenim, if it's a question of beginning a new enterprise there, it has to be perfect. That's why they had to look for clean oil. As they state in Rabbi Yosef Engel, let me ask you a question. The whole idea is that when you begin a new enterprise, it has to be, as they say in the classics, peh, peh, peh. But I got a bigger problem. And that is, Einochinami, they found one cruse of oil, and they dedicated the menorah. But after the first night, it's ongoing. So why do they need the miracle? The miracle is that the oil, which should only have lasted one night, lasted for eight. Rabbi Yosef Engel's answer is why they went looking for pure oil in the first place. And answer is, because to begin, it's got to be tops. But my style is, what about night two, three, four, and five? There's no need for a miracle at all. Tumer hutra v'tzibur. Use unclean oil, the oil will go out. You've dedicated the menorah, and nights 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are not beginnings. They are continuations. That's the shaila. The answer, my friends, is discover this evening. Every lighting of the menorah is a Chanukah. Because you take it apart and you put it together. See, if you need pure oil for the first night, you need pure oil for the second night, and for the third night, and for the fourth night, ad infinitum. And therefore, since they needed 8 days to get pure oil, new pure oil, the only way that it could light was through a miracle. Because you cannot invoke Tumah Hutra V'Tzibur when you begin. And according to the Yoruch Haim HaKadosh, that was the consolation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered to Aharon, that every day you are going to begin. There's going to be no continuation. Every day is a Chanukah. So that's the first offering that I want to do present, and it's certainly a lot of news in this particular. In the course of the menorah, of the instructions how to light it, it says, Elmul Penei HaMenorah. Let's have a look at Rashi. Elmul Penei HaMenorah. Says Rashi, Elmul Ne'er Emsa'i She'eino Bekonim Ela Beguf Shel Menorah. Says Rashi, you know how the menorah was lit? The three lamps on each side, the light spaced in so that it all went up on a central beam. That's exactly how the menorah was lit. Now, there are various interpretations as to why the menorah had to be lit in this way. And last year, we mentioned the Sephorno, which we will not look at this particular moment again. I only want to draw your attention to something quite fascinating, which I came across in the writings of the Chassam Sofer. It's a simple thought, but one which I believe has to be emphasized whenever possible. No, you haven't got it there, I just came across it. El mul kolei hamanolo yoiru, says the Chassam Sofer, why are they to face into the middle? Lomar, in order to remind the Jew that emsoi meshubach, the golden mean, is the most praiseworthy. Sheyochas kol adam derech hamemutza. Every Jew should attach himself to the middle path. Lo yaflig lismod, he shouldn't go too far to the left. Altir shaharvei, not to be too big a rosha. Lo yaflig liyamin, and let him not go too far to the right. Altitzdak harvei, not to be too big a tzaddik. Aye, why did Aharon need to have this lesson? Because of the Chasam Sofer, it says about Aharon, the Chapotik in Divrei Ayomim, Vayibodei l'Aharon l'Hakdisho Kodesh Kodoshim. Aharon was separated even from his own tribe, because he was Kodesh Kodoshim. And we have to know that even a person who is l'Hakdisho Kodesh Kodoshim, Aharon understood that the Derech HaMemutza, the golden mean, that is the way the Jew should live. Says the Chasam Sofer, and that is what Rashi means when he says, commenting on the words in the next pasuk, "Vayas kein Aharon," and Aaron did so, "Lahagid shivachosha laharon shaloshino," to declare the praises of Aharon that he never changed. As time went on, he got holier and holier and holier, but you didn't see it. It was all inside, all inside. You know that. One of the great Hasidic masters says, Yivarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you, when we usually take the word v'yishmerecha and protect you. So the Hasidic master says v'yishmerecha means, and he should cause it to ferment shemorim. In other words, all the brachos should take place on the inside, not on the outside. Is lahagit shvachos shalaharon shaloshina. And this is something very, very crucial. Extremes are not advisable and they are not acceptable. The Derech Mamutz is acceptable. And I want to mention that when I saw the Chasam Sofer, it brought to mind a statement by the Gaon of Vilna. The Gaon of Vilna, in his commentary on Mishlei, say for Mishlei, one of the opening psukim pasuk beis is Ladas Chochma Umusar Lahovin Imrei Bina. What a clever man this gentleman was. Lahovin Ladas Chochma Umusar Lahovin Imrei Bina. Says the Gaon, these are the introductory words to Sefer Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech is telling you, in my Sefer you will find Chochma, Musar, and Lahavinim Rebina, Havana, Bina. We need these three things, he says. Chochma you need, says the Gaon, not to fall into the net and the trap of the Yetzer Hara. But if you've fallen in, you need Musar to get out. Says the Gaon, Chochma you need to stop you falling in. Musa you need once you've fallen in, how to get out. So what do you need Bina for? Says the Gaon, how to conduct yourself after you have got out. Very, very subtle. Lahavin Imrei Bina. Now that you have gone out, you were once down there and you've decided to make Torah your life, but you have to do some mitzvah. Going from one extreme to another extreme, speaking to my son this evening, he told me that my cousin had told him tell me the following story, which I think encapsulates what's going on, just by accident, some coincidence. A rabbi in B'nai Brak came to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who is today one of the Gedolei Hador, and said to him, I want to ask your opinion about a certain halachic matter, whether it's mutter or whether it's usser. The minig in my congregation is to be machmir, but I want to know if there is any source in halach as to whether it's mutter or usser. So Reb Shlomo Zalman thought and said to him, there is no source whatsoever indicating that this matter is usser, mitzada halacha, it is completely mutter, and I'd like you to go back and tell that to your people. He met him a week later, and he said to this rabbi from B'nai Brak, he says, now what did your congregation say when you told them that it's mutter? He says, I didn't tell them. He says, why didn't you tell them? The reply in these words, because it contains a kula, she'en hatzibur yecheilem la'amud. It contains a leniency with which the congregation could not live. If paraphrasing what used to be said in the Talmud, that there are certain chumras with which people cannot live, that now we've got to the stage where there are leniencies with which people cannot live. V'hamei v'nyobin. Okay, he's up. Fine. Now, my friends, we want to move on to the next major episode in the Sidra, and that is the Parsha of Pesach. Perek Tes. And here I just want to offer one or two observations, which I consider to be of relevance to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Let me begin by telling you a little story. The Gemara tells us in Psochim, in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, of a certain rabbi who laid a trap for an Aramean who went to Yerushalayim, pretended he was a Jew, and partook of the Korban Pesach. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who lived in Kutz La'aretz, or in Netzivim, wherever he lived, he told this particular Aramean, who boasted when he came back after Pesach, that he had eaten of a Korban Pesach, and he'd fooled them all. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira laid a trap for him and said to him, when you go back, ask for the tail, because I don't think they gave me the nicest part. So he went back and asked for the tail. Now any Jew knows that a tail is the part of the Korban Pesach that gets burnt on the Mizbeach. So they said to him, who told you to ask for the tail? He's a venerable rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So they investigated, they discovered that he was an Aramean, and they disposed of him. Exactly what he had done to Bichai of Misa, but that's a different matter. In those days there was no letter to the editor, as is given, that was it. Okay, fine. Now, what is of great interest to us at this particular moment in time is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira laid a trap for this fellow, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira did not go to Yerushalayim to tell the authorities that this fellow's a guy. But every Jew got to go to Yerushalayim, Shlesh Pomer Bashono, etc., etc. Says Tosfos, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira did not travel to Yerushalayim is because he didn't own any land in Eretz Yisrael. And if you do not own land in Eretz Yisrael, you are not obligated, A, according to the Gemara in Psochim, to go up to be seen three times a year. And, says the Tosfos, that's the Chiddush of Tosfos, that you are also not obligated to bring a Korban Pesach. If you don't own land in Eretz Yisrael, you're not obligated to a Korban Pesach. That's Tosfos. Asks the Mishnah Lemelech, where did Tosfos get a statement of that nature from? Heichon remiza. Where is it alluded to that an individual who doesn't have land in Eretz Yisrael is exempt from Korban Pesach? Says the Meshech Chochma, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Says Meshech Chochma, you want to know where the remez is? I will tell you. Because there are many occasions when the Torah tells us that the laws that are being stated in a particular section of the Torah apply both to the born Jew and to the convert. Bager uvo ezroch. Three times in Torah you find a phrase which doesn't occur anywhere else. Ezrach ha'aretz. The citizen of the land. And each of those three occasions where the phrase Ezrach Ha'oretz is found, is in connection with Korban Pesach. Says the Meshech Chochma, that is the remez, that is the allusion in Torah to Shitas Tosfos, that a person who is not an Ezrach HaOretz, who has no land in Eretz Yisrael, the laws of Korban Pesach are not binding on him. That's the remez. Hadavar Nifla. We move on. How did Tosfos know the man has no land? You didn't have to put in your income tax returns in those days. How would they know that he had no land? Says the Gaon of Vilna, how people learned. Says the Gaon of Vilna, there is a machlokus in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf tzadik beis amud beis. The Gemara says there, the dry bones that the prophet Ezekiel brought back to life, or saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring back to life, was that a dream? Or did it happen? Said Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, those people that were brought back to life, it happened. They came to Eretz Yisrael, they married. I am one of their descendants, and here's the tefillin that I have from my elder Zayda. Is Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, because he was descended from those people who died on their way out of Mitzrayim and didn't make it. Shemonu is akeit v'tol. It's frightening to how a man was moved around like this from Gemara to Gemara. So we have established now how Tosfos knew that the Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra had no land. Because what it means is not that you don't own it temporarily, it means that you had no land for Yerusha. Because if you only own land up to the Jubilee year, when it's got to go back to the true owners, that's not called ownership of land. So that's how he knew. Now we come to the final point. And that is as follows. If we say that the land was divided out amongst those people who left Mitzrayim, or amongst those people who came to Eretz Yisrael, and if we further say that in order to qualify for ownership of land, it means that you are the real owner, as opposed to a temporary ownership which you enjoy until the next Jubilee year, after the Minchat Chinuch in Mitzvah Hay, how come that a geir is obligated in Korban Pesach? Because a geir doesn't have any land. V'lechura l'das ha-tesvus d'mi she'ein lo karka potami Pesach im ken geir she'nichtav v'felish v'teira heich yesh lo karka. Let me tell you the answer, my friends. Look at the pasuk Yudala that we just referred to. And if a ger will sojourn with you, and he will make a Pesach to Hashem. There is no indication in that pasuk that a ger is mechuyev to bring a korban Pesach. It says, if you have a ger amongst you, and he wants to bring a korban Pesach like everybody else, then, kechukasa pesach, uchemishpoto kenyase, chukoachasi hielochem velagel, etc. So that to me, it's a chapela otsum. Because the minchas chinuch is indicating that a geir is duty bound, is mechuyim to bring a korban pesach. And the truth of the matter is, it's not so. All the Tosfos says is that a person who doesn't own land is potter, is exempt. But if he wants to, nobody ever said he can't. So therefore, it is quite obvious that the answer to the Minchas Chinuch question is not in Longdis, but in the Pasuk. The Chiyagui, the Chagir, Idachem Ger, also Pesach, and the same Lashon Mamish in Shemot Perek Yud Beis. The Chiyagui, the Chagir, the also Pesach. Not that he is Mechuyev, but that he has the opportunity should he so desire. So those are a few words in regards to Korban Pesach. Let me now move on before we come to the major items that we've looked into. The next pasuk. Uveyom hakimet hamishkan. Kisa heyanonet hamishkan liyeh eloheidus, etc., etc. Now, what I want to draw your attention to here is something very, very major. And it is a chidush from the Gates of Rosh Hashiva, of Avram Gurevich. And it is a chidush that I have asked him about, and he said to me that he has found nobody else who says it. And it is, to my mind, this is Emes Lamis.
simple, but to my mind, major. The Rambam Paskins Lahalocha as follows. Ein bonin es hamikdosh balayla. You are not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash by night. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Uveyom Hakim es HaMishkan, and in the day that the Mishkan was established. Veyom Mikai Mikimin, Velo Balayla. So you build it by day, and you do not build it by night. And the Rambam goes on to say, V'hakol chayovim livnos to l'side v'yatmanu v'momonom, and all are obligated to build it. Anoshim v'noshim, men and women, kemikdash hamidbar, like the sanctuary in the wilderness.
Ask the Meforshei HaRambam, how can it be that the Rambam paskins that you can only build the mikdash by day and not by night, and nevertheless says that women are obligated? Surely it is a mitzvah saseh, shazman geroma, a positive commandment with a fixed time from which women are exempt. Says Rav Avraham, very major. There are two types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs which are addressed to the individual, tzitzis, tefillin, and there are mitzvahs which are addressed to the people of Israel, to the tzibur. Appointing a king, destroying a Molech, building a mikdash, according to the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, is a mitzvah which is obligatory on the tzibur, on the community, on the people. Says Rav Avraham, when do we say that a positive commandment with a fixed time women are exempt from? When it is a commandment which is addressed to the individual. But if we are speaking about a commandment which is addressed to the community, women are as much a part of the community as men, and consequently there is no reason on earth that can exempt them from participating in a mitzvah which is addressed to the community. Now that is a chidush nisgal. It's well worth mentioning, if only for those few moments. The din of mitzvah asei shehazman geroma, the positive commandment which exempts women, positive commandment with a fixed time, is only in regards to those mitzvos which are addressed to the yochid, to the individual. In regard to mitzvos asei which are addressed to the tzibur, women are part of the tzibur and are as such, are as equally obligated to the mitzvah as are men. And therefore, the fact that a mikdash can only be built by day and not by night, and it is, in fact, a mitzvah saseh shehazman geroma, but since it is a mitzvah which applies to the tzibur, it is not a mitzvah from which women are exempted. Something well worth remembering. Okay. Now, my friends, let us move on to our last two items on our official agenda, and let's take, first of all, Perek Yud Vei's Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, Slicha, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Lo chein avdi Moshe, v'chol beisi ne'emon hu. My servant Moshe is not like that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol beisi ne'emon hu, in my household he is faithful, ne'emon hu. So now I want to direct your attention to our first item, taken from a sefer called Machzei Elyon. She's a sefer written by a contemporary machaber who brings together a number of inyanim concerning nevuah. And he writes as follows. The parshas ba'aloschok is even, parshas ba'aloschok is written. Lo chein avdi Moshe b'chol beisi ne'emon hu. My servant Moshe is not like the other prophets. He is faithful in all my house. V'sanya lo b'sifrei. And regarding that comment, the sifrei says the following. Rabbi Yossi Yomir, Rabbi Yossi says, Af mi malachei hashores. He is even more faithful in my household than the angels. So the shaila now is, exactly what does b'chol beisi ne'emon hu mean? V'hagon Reb Chaim Hizbireze, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal. He explained as follows, as a Yisod Gadol. Divinavua, when one speaks about the prophecy in general, Lo shayach, it is not appropriate,
Shanavi Yishalis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esfekos of, that a prophet should ask any problem which he has of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to prophecy, the traffic is one way. God communicates with the prophet and that's it. It is not appropriate that a prophet should initiate traffic the other way. Some problems that he has and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even in regards to Malachim, it's not shaykh that they should ask their questions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masha ein kein Moshe Rabbeinu, which is not so with Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to ask all his problems of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As is written in our own parts in the case of Pesach Sheni, where they wanted to know what happens, they couldn't bring it to the 14th of Nisan. Vayomer aleihem Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Imdu v'yeshma ma'yitzav Hashem lachem, you just stay there, and we'll find out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say about it. Or in regards to B'nai Slavchot and Farshas Pinchot, by Yakrev Moshe Mishpatan L'Bnei Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought their case before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had a shayla, he brought it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu, meaning, Shehoya Yachol Levarer Sveikosov, Eitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yedei Nevu also, he was able to ask any question that he had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Halacha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer. That is B'chol Beisi Nehem on who, and that's something that even the Malachim can't do. Says Reb Chaim, you don't need to take my word for it that Malachim can't ask Shailas. I will prove to you that they can't. Ve'esav ha-medrish v'hubah v'rashi v'parshas Korach. There is a medrish quoted by Rashi in Parshas Korach. Tevishas ha-mageifa. You remember the time when there was a mageifa which broke out amongst the Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aharon, run quickly and take the ketoret and stop the plague. Right? And the Malachim Ovis was going around doing his job, and Aharon, all of a sudden it says, Ochaz Aharon b'Malachim Ovis. Aharon got a hold of the Malachim Ovis and he says, stop doing your work. I want you to stop. V'yomalei, and Aharon said to the Malachim Ovis, you've got to stop. To the Malachim Ovis, I can't stop. Who are you to tell me to stop? I'm a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Aharon says, you've got to stop. I'm a shliach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Malachim Ovis says to Aharon, what are you talking about? I just told you I'm a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're telling me I've got to stop because you're a shliach of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chosor Bodom. Amalo, so Aharon replied, Ein Moshe Omer Klum Elamiti Agvura. Moshe Rabbeinu never says anything unless he has been told to do so by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm not really a shliach from Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. I says, Aharon to the Malachim Ovis, Ineina Tom Amin, and if you don't believe me, that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu does, he does by the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Eitzel, Pesach, Moed, Boi, Mi, Ushaal, Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are standing at the door of the tent, come, and we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu to ask. V'tzorech Iyun, says Reb Chaim, it's strange. Lomelo hoyo yochel ha-malach lishol. Why wasn't the Malach himself able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He had to come back and ask Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu should ask on his behalf. V'lomelo hoyo sorach shemoshi yishal bishvilo. Elo al-korcheinu k'moshe kosavti. Obviously the answer is like I've just said. Shela malach ein reshus lishol. The angel has no right to ask. For that lemoshe nitno dagazu shel nevuah. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu who has that dargo, that level of prophecy. She yochel lishol he's able to ask. That is what the Supreme means when it says, because he is so faithful in my household that even if he has problems, he is able to ask, and I am able to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to ask. Ad kan l'shen agon Rabbi Nachman. Says the Machzeh Elyon, v'tach kosav ha'Ibn Ezra b'peirish al atar. And if you look, you'll find the Ibn Ezra says exactly the same thing. On the words, v'chol beisi ne'em on who? Tamo, says the Ibn Ezra, it means he is Keben Bayis. He's like a Ben Bayis, one of the households. Sheyikoneis below Rishus, who can come in without even asking. Ve'im yitzareich yedaber tzerachav. And if he has any problems, he's able to ask. As they state in Ibn Ezra. Ve'atem, whereas you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Aharon and Miriam, ka'asher esmado lachem b'chalom teidu, when I come to you in a dream, that's what you know. And if you, I don't come to you in a dream, ein lachem reshus lishol, you don't have any permission to ask. So the Rav Chaim is mamish in the Ibn Ezra. That b'chol beisi ne'em on who, what does it mean? In all my house he is faithful. It means he comes in and he is able to ask whatever speikos he has and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to answer. The Alti Hanal, and based on this assessment of what B'chol Beis Din Ehrman Hu means, cause of Agon, Rebelvel Levayin, it's a pasuk. Rebelvel Brisker, his son, Reb Chaim's son, says, now I understand the pasuk. Moshe Yedaber, V'ho Elokim Yanenu B'kol. Let me just say it over in my words. It means as follows. The Rambam says that B'nai Yisrael did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of any signs and wonders that he brought to them. The B'nai Yisrael believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because with their own eyes they saw the level of his prophecy at Matan Torah. That's what the Rambam says. As the Belvel breathes, if the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, his true level of prophecy, was revealed to all at Matan Torah, then surely that level of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, i.e. the fact that he is able to ask any question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer, should also have been revealed before the eyes of the Jewish people at that time. And where do we see that that was done? Says the Belvel, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Moshe Yedaber, when Moses spoke, V'ho Elohim Ya'anenu V'kol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. So you see that whenever Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in question, he was able to receive an answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Yedaber V'ho Elokim Yanenu B'kol is the pasuk which identifies that level of Moshe Rabbeinu which was perceived by the entire Jewish people at the time of Matan Torah. Moshe Yedaber V'ho Elokim Yanenu B'kol. I often feel that the Haftorah was a little left out. So let's offer a word or two in the Haftorah. A part of which, dare I say it, and I'm not the one to stand in judgment, but I think it's commonly acknowledged that the Haftorah for Bahalot is one of the most beautiful of the entire year. It's also the Haftorah of Shabbos Hanukkah, Roni V'Simchi. To quote one of the famous Hasidic masters, he asked, Roni V'Simchi, Bastion, sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, what are women doing singing? Good Shiloh. For those people who regard it as a good shayla. Roni v'simchi v'atzion zokter. What are women singing? Zokter, as they zokter. In Chida, the Chida says there is no problem to women singing if it's in a synagogue where the Shechino is. Because then nothing can happen. There's no levity that can take place. Chida was the basis of mixed choirs, you have to know, in many synagogues. A lot has changed since then, but the Chida, Chaim Zalman Yisrael, says the B'nai Yisrael's car, Roni v'simchi v'atzion. You know why the women are able to sing? Because the Chidah says that wherever the Shekhinah was there in a shul, there is no problem whatsoever. To quote unquote that one thing may lead to another. Kolbi Yishu Hashem. So very, very important, a very important comment that the B'nai Yisosko is one of the great masters. So what will happen? I will dwell amongst you. Says the next book. Then all nations at the time of Mashiach will come and they will be my people. And v'shochanti b'seichich. Nochamo v'shochanti b'seichich. Twice v'shochanti b'seichich. Says the Alshech HaKadosh so beautifully. He says HaKadosh Baruch was saying to Bastion, to Yerushalayim, v'shochanti b'seichich. I am dwelling in your midst now. I am still there. Even though the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the Shekhinah is still there. Ah, you'll say to me, maybe Jerusalem is my capital city because I'm only God of Israel. But maybe in Mashiach's time when the whole world will turn towards me, V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz, so maybe I'll move to Washington. As they say in Al Shech HaKadosh, maybe when I'm melech al kol ha'oretz, so I'll find somewhere more, quote unquote, substantial, prestigious, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem v'yom ahu v'hoyu li l'yom. Even though all nations will come to me and they will be my people on that day, v'shachanti b'sochech, in Satan mode, v'shachanti b'sochech, I will still be with you. Yerushalayim will still be my capital. A wonderful Alshech HaKadosh. Yimloch Hashem l'yolam, says the son of Rav Shlomo Kluger Zatzal, in the Hakdomah to Rav Yankov Emdet Siddur, Yimloch Hashem l'yolam, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over the entire world, he will still be Elokai Zion L'dor V'dor. He will still be the God over Zion. Because Zion and Yerushalayim will still be his capital. Not Yimloch Hashem L'Yolam, may Hashem reign forever. It's the Hanalish text. Yimloch Hashem L'Yolam, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules forever, L'Yolam, sorry, over the entire world, it will still be Elokai Zion. He will still be your God. Yerushalayim will still be the capital. Let me conclude then with a comment from the Netziv on a pasuk in this Haftorah. It's in Tera Gimel Pasuk Zayin in Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem Tzvokos. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im bidrochai telech, if you will walk in my ways, ve'im es mishmarti tishmor, and you will keep my mishmeret. Now here, this is our concluding comment for the evening, and it is Kedarko, this is the Netziv L'shitot, and something which is extremely, extremely basic. Two things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you will walk in my ways, and you will keep my mishmeret, says the Netziv, what is mishmarti? Follow carefully, please, as I say Nisko. Says the Netziv, hainu esek hatorah. Mishmeret is a word which refers to Talmud Torah. So the pasuk reads, if you will walk in my ways, meaning you will keep my mitzvahs, the imes mishmarti tishmor, and you will guard my Torah. You will learn my Torah. Now, the Netziv would like to explain to you why it is that Eisek HaTorah, learning Torah, was called Mishmeret. The Kino HaKosov Bozeh HaShem Mishmarti, why did the Navi refer to Talmud Torah as Mishmarti? The reason is, Mishum de Talmud Torah Eino Dome Le Mitzvah. You cannot compare the duty to learn Torah to the duty to keep all mitzvahs of the Torah. Why? The following is the statistic. So basic. To call mitzvos haTorah heima mazon v'tikun le'eza eilam shenivra lakach. You have to know that there are worlds upon worlds upon worlds, and this is the lowest. And the worlds and the worlds above are sustained by the observance of the mitzvos. They are the mazon, they are the food which keeps alive the Olamos and the Olamos Olyon. Umishumahachi, and because they are the food which feeds the Olamos, for that reason, Nikru, they are called Chukos Tzai. Al Kavonozu, for this reason, Shem Chukos Shemaim Va'oretz, Kamosha Basafti, Vesefa Bayikra, Reish Pei Parshas in the Chukos Tzai, Al Pidiv Lechazah. You should know, says the Netziv, that the word chok means not only a statute, it means food. And when it speaks about Yosef making sure that the Kohanim got their food, and make sure that everybody got their food in Parshas Vayigash, it's chok. And when the Gemara in Beit Zohar says that the food of every individual is ordained between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Mizono sob shalom kitsuvim lo, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what's the pasuk? In the Gemara, ki chok li Yisroel, mishpatel akedach. So the word chok means food, and mitzvot are the food which sustains the heavens, sustains the world. Umishum hachi, for which reason, uvasher heim or mozo and shemayim v'oret, and because they are food for heaven and earth, mishum hachi, yesh lechol mitzvahs man yodua. That's why there are mitzvahs, every mitzvah got a set time. Because there are certain times for eating meals, and there are certain times for certain foods. You can digest certain foods at certain times. So if you want to know what mitzvos are and what do mitzvos achieve, mitzvos have one simple function. Mitzvos sustain shomayim v'orah. Now what function does Eisek HaTorah for? Ma'ashein kein Eisek HaTorah. Which is not the case with busying oneself in learning Torah. Hu nikro cherev. Learning Torah is referred to by the Gemara in Shabbos as a holding a sword. Because they relate it to the pasuk chagor harvacha. The pasuk nikro ma'ira b'divrei Torah. Which refers in a simple understanding to the learning of Torah. Why? Because learning of Torah is a protection for an individual. It's got a different function. Mitzvos sustain. Torah protects. Ukamotion is by the pay the part of Kadesh, the Tama the Haishma of Yichav Yarichas etc. The Hine Kamocherev who bought Ishmur Meyodom Amazik, in the same way as a sword defends you against someone who comes to do you harm, Kach HaTorah hu Mishameh Mikol Ra, so it is Torah defends you as well. Number one on a national level, Kamovim Elchemes Tenufa, The Pasuk says, Elmados Hayuragleinu Bishiyorayach Yerushalayim, which is usually translated as, our feet have stood in thy ramparts, O Jerusalem, says the Gemara in Makos. Mi goram leragleinu shiyamdu b'melchoma. What allowed our feet to stand firm in Yerushalayim, in war? Shara Yerushalayim hametz miyonim v'halocha. The fact that they learned Torah in the gates of Jerusalem. So you see, therefore, on a national level, the learning of Torah protects us against the enemy. The Yod Rabu Mamore Chazal, etc. That's number one. So Torah, the learning of Torah, is a protection on a national level. Number two, Shmira Torah Mecholi. It also, if you learn Torah, it protects you from illness. That's why the Pasuk says in Parshas Bisharach, Im Shomoa Tishmu Bekoli, if you will listen to my voice, which Chazal say, if you will learn Torah, then Kolamachlo Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim, Lo Asim Olecho Ki Ani Hashem Rofecho. All illnesses which I have brought in Egypt, you will be saved from. Learning Torah will protect you from illness. And in Eilevin, the Gemara says, Chosh Parosho Yasav, a Torah person is, head is hurting, fearful of impending illness, Yasav Patur. Shemira Sawada Me Yetzahora, and it's all Torah also protects the individual from the Yetzahora, V'hoyim Shemoa, Yishum Lechem Pen Yitzelav Avachem, etc. And the Gemara says, in Poga B'chom and Nubles there, if the Yetzahora gets the best of you, Moshcheo Leveis HaMedrish, let him in as well as Leveis HaMedrish. Start learning. As soon as you learn, you are protected. And also, Shemira mi Mosarim. What about those Jews who want to hand you over with all information to the non-Jewish authorities? What should you do with these people? Should you kill them? What should you do? Says the Gemara in Gittin, Hashkein v'harei v'aleim l'beit ha-medrish, v'heim talin me'aleim. You go into the yeshiva and learn Torah, and they'll come to a bitter end. Forget about them. Torah will protect you from them. It protects you in war. It protects you from illness. It protects you from Mosarim. It protects you from the Yetzirah. And that is why the Gemara says in, at the end of Kedushin that Torah is Misham Rosso Mikol Ra, Umisham Hochi Kora Oso Akodesh Baruch Mishmarti. That's why the Torah and the Nevi'im refer to the learning of Torah as Mishmarti. You observe my protection. You have one protection. And your protection is Limo Torah. The Hochi Yikar Pedesh Akroba Parshat Arayot, etc., etc. And that is why, now look what he says here. Umishum hachi, two lines from the bottom. Umishum hachi, mitzvah hagos po yom v'layla. That's why, unlike every other mitzvah, the mitzvah to study Torah continues all the time, day and night, because the shemira min hanezek ain't hefzikus man, because there is no time when you don't need these protections. So since the learning of Torah, unlike other mitzvahs, is to offer you protection, it is obvious that the mitzvah of learning Torah applies to all times, because we need protection at all times. And, says the Nesiv, with his consummate encyclopedic knowledge, v'hayna de'yitza b'vestichta de'yecha. That is what the vestichta to Megillat Eicha, the Medrash, means when it says, man ninhu neture karta. Who are the true guardians of the city? Answers the vestichta, Mishnayo v'safraya, the people who learn Torah shebal peh, Mishnayo v'safraya, and the people who learn Torah shebichsav, Shehem shaymenim ha-mishperim. So what you see from here is, and it's a Yisod Nisgal, the difference between keeping the mitzvot and learning Torah, Shmiras ha-mitzvot is mozon, it sustains shamayim v'oret, Eisek ha-Torah sustains no world. It protects the individual. It is a different matter altogether. And it is something that you can see comes out of the base of the base of Medrash of Lithuania. It is such a Litvish Shikol Teda here. It is very, 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 very special. We'll leave it over here till next week. Jerry would like a word.